Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Hello everybody, welcome to The Watchman. My first message for 2022. And I am so excited to have you, and I'm so excited about this year. I hope you're as excited about 2022 as I am, because it is a year that is going to astound everybody. Because now we've been through the real valley. We've walked through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, we are coming right out of it. Okay? Because remember, if you read Psalms 23, where it talks about the valley of the shadow of death, there is something that comes immediately after that. That's where we are right now. That's where we are going right now. And I'm very, very excited about it. So, it doesn't stop in the valley of the shadow of death. And by shadow of death, I don't necessarily mean that you are going to die. No. I mean in terms of endeavor and so many things that are happening. Church, expression, freedom, has not been the ideal year. But it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That's Psalms 23, verse 4. But then immediately after the shadow of death, the next verse says, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Now, this is where we are. After going through the valley of the shadow of death, now we are readying ourselves for the Lord himself to prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies and to anoint our heads with oil and our cups run over. So, this is the place where we are right now. Our cups are running over. Then it goes on to say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So, as long as we are here, some things are not going to happen. Now, I am really excited about what the Lord is doing this year, because this has been a year for the wicked people to try and triumph over the church, to try and quash the church and put it in a state of dysfunctionality, I should say. So, this is what they have been trying to do. And they have given it their best effort. Make no mistake, they have given it their best effort. They've tried everything that can be tried. They've pressed people. They've done these things. But then we are still here and we are not going anywhere. Now, the interesting thing is that they are the ones who seem to be shaking right now. Now, all the foundations of the wicked are already shaking. And if you've been following the news, you know that a lot of the foundations of the wicked are shaking. And they are shaking very, very fast. Because these are people who thought that if they can plan and have control over political power, of course, through financial power. So there is a whole clique of people. Some people say as few as 7 people who make the decisions all over the world. And these people are the ones who have been pushing lockdowns. They push every plot that they come up with. Of course, they spoke. I've told you this before. They, by 2018, 2017, they were actually simulating a scenario where there is a coronavirus and people need to be locked down. So they were pretending as if it is something that might happen, yet they knew for sure that they were planning it and it was going to happen. So all these things were simulated by the usual people, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, John Hopkins University, and World Economic Forum, and people like that. So they have been simulating all these things. So now they had control over all the money. They had control over a lot of power, the institutions, the systems, and they have control over the media. And now the media apparently seem to have a lot of control over what people believe or what they affirm. However, a lot of that is changing right now. A lot of it is changing right now. And people have to understand that when things change in the hearts of men, then things change in the atmospheres. You see, people think that the atmospheres of necessity control what men do. But that's not necessarily true. Because, so you see people going to places and say, we are going to break the demons of drunkenness in this place. And then they go and break demons of drunkenness and break demons of drunkenness. And guess what? People continue going to bars and getting drunk all the time. That's because they don't really, really understand. Yes, there are demons that cause people to get into that kind of state. However, as long as people still want to live that life, the demons have a right to come and control that locality. That's one thing that people do not understand. A lot of the church does not understand that. So you see that what actually happens is, if people went and preached the gospel to these drunkards, and these drunkards got born again and left alcohol, you know, there's at least a segment of the population that is now pointing in a different direction and what. Then suddenly the demons which were operating and influencing the actions of the people in that place start becoming weaker and weaker, because a people here has been created that are against those things and are doing something different. So this is what happens. Really, what changes? I want you to know that when the church was constructed in the days of the Acts of the Apostles, the Apostle Paul did not go saying, I go into this place and first break the demons of this which are covering this place. No, he went there with the anointing of God and preached the gospel to the people. And the people, and would establish churches there, and the churches would grow and grow. Automatically, demons cannot be over a place where people are born again and praying and spitting fire, and there are demons of something in there. No, that's not how it works. As soon as the people change their behavior and they align it to the will of God, those demons have no right whatsoever to be there. So they will leave and go to a place where they are welcome. So, and now, you see, the people of the kingdom of darkness kind of knew this. So when they come, they do not come and say, if they want, let's say, to come and spread homosexuality in Uganda, they don't say, we send the demons of homosexuality to Uganda to go and take over. No, they can't do that. As long as the people in Uganda detest that practice, the demons cannot come here, because the people here do not want them. Okay, they want something else. But what these people do, using money, using influence, using what, they try to spread the habit down. And the more the habit spreads, the more those demons come and take over. So the power actually to come and control comes from the hearts of men. Now you see, throughout all this COVID period, the reason the servants of the devil had some kind of control and could come and oppress people and what, is because they managed to use the media to spread fear, you know, and make everybody suspicious of the other. Somebody cannot even touch somebody's hands. They cannot even move close. By the way, those things, some Christians practice. But I wish you knew how you are really falling for the agenda of the devil. Okay? Because somehow you're so suspicious of that. Keep a distance from somebody. You know, don't even touch their hands. Don't even do this. You touch somebody's ass, you have to go and wash. You know, and you really, really, and they are creating a certain emblem of fear around everybody. And now when the people buy into that fear, then the demons that are responsible for that thing then have the right to now come and cover that place. Okay, they feel they have a right to come and cover that place. And now that is where their power comes from. But now for us, what we set out to do, at least I know for myself, I set out to do, to tell everybody that there is no point whatsoever in us standing here and being absolutely fearful, okay, of a sickness which, for people who are below 70 years, has a survival rate of 99.97%. Okay, now we don't want anybody to, however, if a sickness has a survival rate of 99.97, how can we justify the things that have been done in the name of such a sickness, except through fear, through, you know, absolute fear? Everybody is scared of the other and so on. And now the devil comes and takes advantage of that. He loves that. He loves that. Divide and rule. So now stay away from where. Don't come where people are and so on. God created us to be social beings. We are supposed to interact. Okay? Close churches. When you have churches, sit very far away. Somebody sits 2 meters away from the other person. And it's all absolute pretense. Because after that, you're going to be walking and, you know, greeting each other and even hugging each other and so on. But anyway, my point is, now, somehow, because we set out to go and release the people from this fear. And I've really made it part of my mission to tell people, do not fear. There is absolutely nothing to fear. This COVID thing is in the head more than anything else. It is a sickness, don't get me wrong, but it is nowhere close to what it has been made out to be. So now, eventually, people have lost the sense of fear. Now, I was even seeing the other day, the president coming, and he was very miserable because he had to release people to go and, you know, work. He's saying, now you people want to have fun, you people want to do this. Yes, we do. We are not all 8 years like you. So let people go and have fun. And the thing is, the devil loves misery. Where people are miserable and scared and what, you actually invite him when you are that kind of person, when you actually buy into that. If somebody can get you into a state of fear, okay, as Job said, the thing that I feared the most, happened to me. When I would say, you people, don't take this thing too seriously. Don't take it too seriously. People say, hey, you be careful. You might easily die of COVID. No, I cannot die of COVID. I cannot even die of anything until God is through with me. So, so you are going to, and you see fear. And that is how you invite the enemy. But more than that, you invite his people to come and have total control over you. Not because they have political power. If they had just political power and they did not, it was not, complemented with your fear, they would not do the things they were doing or the things they are doing. So that's exactly what happens. So I'll tell you this, that in reality, it is very, very important that you do not get yourself in a state of panic or fear, because you actually give the enemy a foothold. But now, because people have awoken, and now because people have seen through all this thing, and now because everybody is just anxious to get past it, we are tired of it, everybody is tired of it, now suddenly the people who are loading it over us as using this as an excuse have lost all their power. All their power. I am telling you, it is spectacular what is happening across the world. Spectacular. So spectacular that vaccine companies, which have been paying leaders to force people to get vaccines, paying leaders like our Ugandan leader here, paying them money to force people to go and get vaccinated, vaccine companies now are losing money by the billions of dollars. I was seeing Moderna, one of the perhaps the second biggest in this vaccine era, second biggest after Pfizer, lost in just a few days, they lost $130 billion in the stock after people discovered that their vaccines are rubbish and they could not stop people from catching COVID or even from spreading it or for anything. The vaccines actually are useless, because you get the vaccine, you can catch COVID, you can spread COVID, you can die of COVID, you can be hospitalized with COVID. Actually, some data shows, credible data, I'm not talking about Uganda, I'm saying places like Scotland, like Ireland, the Republic of Ireland, and even the UK, 70 to 80% of the people who are dying of COVID are all vaccinated. So only 30% are unvaccinated. So you have a better chance of survival by not being vaccinated. That's why I've been telling you, I've known these things all along, I've been telling you, do not do it. Do not do it. It is not about health. It is not about COVID. But you see now, the reason some people, and it amazes me, the way so many pastors have fallen for this thing, and all of them were even angry, you know, you have to go and vaccinate, and you know, forcing their people, their pastors who are forcing their congregation to go and vaccinate. And why don't you listen to people who know, like the Watchman? You just wait and see. There are lawsuits now which are coming up against vaccine companies. And they are even being threatened with international criminal court. They are all coming up. Because people have realized people are dying from vaccines. Now there are so many people whom I've been talking to, and they know that people are dying of vaccines. I went to the village on Christmas and they were telling me how many old people who were old and strong. You know, people who are coming to 80, but they ride bicycles, they are strong, they are what? And then they went and got vaccinated and died immediately. And even young people are dying. Okay? And they have no chance, they have very little chance of dying of COVID. But the vaccine is deadly, is a lot more deadly than COVID. And I've been telling you this, but some people will not listen because they don't want to research and they don't want to listen to people who research. Now, the whole thing is tumbling. All across Europe and America, vaccine mandates have been crushed. In the case of America, even by the Supreme Court. In the case of Europe, they have just removed vaccine mandates. And I was seeing in the Czech Republic, they even said it was nonsense from the very beginning. The whole thing was nonsense from the beginning. They have removed vaccine mandates. They have removed mask mandates. So now people do not even have to wear masks or what? All those things. Okay, so now people are moving on from COVID. And they are saying in Europe that it is like seasonal flu, which, by the way, seasonal flu in Europe, in the Northern Hemisphere, especially in winter, kills so many old people, very old people usually, 80 and above. Now, nobody in Uganda dies of flu. So if COVID is being reduced to flu, then we have no business whatsoever even putting on masks or anything. Now, if you don't want to believe me, you go and put on yours. But I'm telling you that you're wasting time. It's an absolute waste of time. And now, all over Europe, if I said it myself, but you just go and read the news, you'd see everywhere they're saying, no, no masks, no mask, no mask mandates. Those who want to put them on can put them on, but nobody is mandated or obligated to put it on. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is the whole thing is crumbling. The whole COVID narrative is crumbling. They have had their time. They have squeezed the church. They have squeezed people. They have used their money. They have used their power to squeeze especially the church and the people, to keep people in misery. But now the Lord is turning around the story. The story is changing completely. You see, these people, one thing they had, you know what? One thing people didn't understand, and we try to tell them this is how it works, okay? The scripture says that the Antichrist will seek to change the times and the seasons, okay? He says that in Daniel chapter 9. He will seek to change the times and the seasons. Because it says in 2 Thessalonians that his coming is for a set time. The Lord has set a time in which the Antichrist is supposed to come. And it is even set when he comes, he will only rule for 3.5 years. So when the Antichrist comes and takes power and sits in authority, he only has 3.5 years before the battle of Armageddon and the second coming of Jesus Christ. And by the second coming of Jesus Christ, I don't mean the rapture. I mean Jesus Christ actually coming on earth. So God has set a time for the Antichrist to come and have his way. Because there will be people who will want to go down that way. There will be people who have chosen his way. There are people who choose the way of the devil. There are so many. They hear what you have to say about God, but for them they say, for us you want the devil. And they have that right. So the Antichrist will come and God will give them a taste of what they have chosen. But you see, what the Antichrist wants to do is to come and have dominion over the church so that he can load it on the church and tell the church what to do, tell them not to congregate, tell them how to congregate, tell them how to sing. And, you know, I had the president saying that, you know, churches, 200 people, but even the preacher has to be in a mask, even the choir has to be in a mask. And I was just seeing the Antichrist talking. Not that he's the one, but the spirit is the one. I mean, how do you reduce people to that? Okay? But their time has come. Their time has come. Now the Lord is avenging his church. I am telling you that this is why I'm excited about 2022. The Lord is avenging the things that have been done to his church. He is avenging it. And some of these people, you look for them and you not see them. I am telling you this. And we are talking about this year. Now, but you listen, people. Because there are so many people in the church who would not even go and do simple research. Do you know what is the origin of the vaccine? Do you know what the plan is? Do you know that this is a dress rehearsal for the mark of the beast? But how come that then the church are the ones who have been, some of them have even been begging, because of course they want money from government, that churches should be turned into vaccination centers? I mean, what kind of rubbish is that? And like, just because they want money from government. But they know themselves. Perhaps they did know how dangerous this thing is, but they are willing to send people down. And send people down. Some of them, I know even pastors who have died because of that thing. I won't mention it, but I know pastors who are healthy, very healthy, until they accepted the lie of going to take the vaccine. And then they died. And they would be here preaching the word of God. Thankfully, they are in heaven. But they could have increased on their reward by staying here and completing their, you know, the work that God had put them here to do. But because they would not listen, now they hastened their journey to the afterworld, thankfully in a good place, because they were children of God. Anyway, so now we have to understand God is avenging the church. Man, this is a very exciting time. God is avenging the church. Now the devil sought to change the times and the seasons. He said, God has set me 3.5 years only to rule. However, I want to increase that time. I want to change it. I want to have at least 15 or 20 years so that I first load it on the church. But God cannot let him, because the time is set. But you see, even the scripture is right there, and it says that he will seek to change the time. And then even Jesus said that if the Lord had not reduced the time, okay, many of the elect would be deceived. Because you see now the way even believers were going down that path, down that path, down that path. And he's saying, now look at how these people are being deceived. Just because people have control over the media channels, control over what, so also you go down that path. And he said, now you see how those people are being deceived. Now let me tell you, if you want to know how the mark of the beast will be, you just see how the vaccine has been. You know you've lived through it. You're not mandated to take the vaccine. Those who want to take it, take it. Then a few, some less like 10% to go and voluntarily take it. Then they say, but if you work, if you're a teacher, if you're a health worker, go and get the vaccine. Then maybe another 10% to go. Then they say, companies which are employing more than 100 people, you have to mandate your people to go and get vaccinated. Now suddenly that goes up to 50%. Now they have not said that you have to go and vaccinate. No. But what they are doing is that they are coercing, making life hard. Now in some places like Austria, they were saying they are going to put a lockdown of unvaccinated people. But then they chose not to do it because they were scared that if they do a lockdown of unvaccinated people, people will realize that actually the people who are dying of COVID are vaccinated. So they decided, let's mix them together so that we continue deceiving people that the unvaccinated people are the ones who are causing the surge of COVID. Yet it's actually the reverse. So anyhow, so now that's how they do. So slowly, now 50%. Then now they say you cannot travel without it, without the vaccine. Then the number increases, let's say to 60. Then they say all school children have to get it. University children have to get it. The number goes up. Then these have to get it. But they are not forcing it on you yet. It's only in Uganda where we are stupid enough to actually go and get soldiers. Those soldiers, I think, are really, you know, it's just like that. But they don't force, nobody holds you down and forces on you the mark of the beast. No. But if you see the way the whole vaccine things are rolled out, now you've been part of the devil's dress rehearsal for the mark of the beast. Eventually, almost everybody has taken it. And eventually, those who have still not taken it, because they know it is the mark of the beast, some people think it will come there and be called the mark of the beast. Take it and you'll go to hell. No, it will be the same thing that this one. You know, if you take it, it is good for everybody. You have to protect your neighbors. You see, it's not just about you. It's about other people. The same lies that they have been telling right now. Okay? So now you see, eventually, even those who will still resist, now the government will not even be forcing you. It will be your relatives, your friends, the people around you, forcing you. What do you mean? You're the ones who are causing us what? You're the ones causing us problems. Why don't you do it? Why? How come you're not doing it? And so on. So you lose business. You lose what? That's exactly what. And that's happened before, by the way. That's happened to Christians before. When the persecution of Nero started, and about 70 AD, specifically around 69 AD, the persecution of Christians, and then it went on and on and on. By 95 AD or 96, when John wrote the book of Revelation, it was very clear at the time that Christians were not allowed to go and sell in markets, were not allowed to... That cooperation pushing you out of society happened before, okay? Before they started feeding them to the lions, they first started squeezing them slowly. If you're a Christian, you cannot have a market trading license. You cannot do this. So the bit of you cannot buy or sell has happened before. You go and check in history. I was reading it and I was amazed how all these things actually are a mirror of the other. There is nothing that happens that is new. As the book of Ecclesiastes says, there is nothing new under the sun. So all these things happen slowly by slowly. And they squeeze you out, the way they were trying to do now for vaccinated people. Until the narrative has changed. You know, one funny thing is, first of all, now everybody has learned these vaccines are useless, so the vaccine companies are losing money by the billions of dollars in a day. Secondly, I was hearing some media house, it's not yet mainstream, but some media house in the UK saying that now criminal charges are being brought against people who are forcing others to vaccinate, and the criminal charges are being preferred. And there was even talk of taking some of these people to the International Criminal Court. I heard this in the UK because now people have realized that actually people were dropping dead from being vaccinated. So those who are not dying were losing their vitality. They were getting heart problems, which they didn't have before. So many footballers have been collapsing on pitches because of being vaccinated and so on and so forth. So these are some of the things that are being discovered. And you can't hide these things forever. You can't hide them forever. Now the narrative is falling. Even here in Uganda, I'm telling you there are certain people who are going to be charged with forcing people to be vaccinated against this COVID thing. Because it was an experimental vaccine. Nobody said that it was a real vaccine. It was experimental. And you cannot be forced to take part in an experiment. But, of course, people here got excited and they went down that path. But I'm telling you, the narrative is changing. And I'm just saying, just watch what happens in the next few months and see how suddenly the people who are so powerful slowly by slowly starts crumbling, first with the finance, then with their ability to influence the world, then the systems that they have set up over so many decades just crumble. The reason they were able to force people and to do all sorts of things is because everything crumbled. Now imagine a country like Sweden comes up and says, we do not even require you to have a negative COVID certificate to enter our country. Now that shows the whole thing has crumbled. So if you travel in Sweden, you don't even need to show that you tested negative for COVID, much less to show that you vaccinated. You don't need any of that. Just come. In other words, we've now decided COVID is there. It's like flu, which we should have decided here in Uganda long before, because in reality, COVID here in these tropical climates is so much like flu, really. So, and even people who got it, it's like flu. Okay, so anyway, so I'll tell you this. Now, so one country, one after the other, the headlines are saying no vaccine mandates. In the UK, Parliament said, now we are letting people, the Prime Minister actually is the one who said, we are letting people decide on their own what COVID measures they will take. If you want to lock yourself up, go and lock yourself in your house. Nobody's going to force you out. But don't ask anybody else to be locked there. If you want to put on a mask, you can even put on a blanket if you want. It's up to you. You have a choice. But do not force anybody to put on a mask. If you want to go and get vaccinated, go. You can even get the 4th, 5th, 6th, up to 12th dose of booster jabs. It is up to you. But do not force anybody to be vaccinated. Those who do not want, like myself. So now that is where most countries across Europe are moving. And that's such a good thing. And it is the beginning of the dismantling of the whole COVID lie. By lie, I don't mean there was no sickness. I mean that there was a whole lot of measures which were put up using COVID as an excuse, which were actually all based on lies. Okay? Now, but I'm telling you now some of the interesting things which are going to happen in 20. Woohoo! Now I have a whole scripture, a whole line of scripture here to tell you some of these things, because there are leaders whom you know, world leaders, national leaders, presidents, whom you know, who have made it their duty to lock people up, to keep people poor, and to gather wealth for themselves. And they are busy impoverishing everybody, pauperizing everyone, as they continue to gather wealth for themselves. And they deceive themselves that they are going to leave the wealth for their children, and that their children and their children's children will be wealthy forever, because, you know, we managed to do all these things. And they are thoroughly convinced of that. But there's a scripture I'm going to read for you from the Bible. I'll tell you which chapter and which book it is. But you first listen to this, okay? And listen to the fate of these people and why I'm excited about this year. Do you not know this of old? Now I'm reading from the Bible. This is scripture. Do you not know this of old, since man was placed on earth, that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment? Though his haughtiness mounts up to the heavens, and his head reaches to the clouds, yet he will perish like his own refuse. In other words, like his own kazambi. That's tough words. Imagine somebody who is going to perish like his own refuse. And yet this is somebody who was triumphing at some stage, and very powerful, and thought that he was in total control, because in 2 years they can lock everybody down. I'm talking about world leaders and both national leaders. I'm talking international and local. He says, yet he will perish forever like his own refuse. Those who have seen him will say, where is he? He will fly away like a dream and not be found. Now, and then he goes on to say, yes, he will be chased away like a vision of the night. The eye that saw him will see him no more, nor will his place behold him anymore. Now, you see these people, they think that they are leaders, okay? There is a leader whom I know who had an opportunity to choose between posterity, okay? Between legacy. You have a chance to choose legacy. The legacy of this president, the legacy of this person. You had a chance to change a country. You had a chance to transform an economy. You had a chance to actually make people, you know, happy and prosperous and create a legacy for yourself. Okay? You had a chance to install democracy in a country that had not seen it since independence. That opportunity was given to you, and you could have gone that direction where you chose legacy, where you are going to be remembered, where your legacy stays. Okay? But you chose the way of greed. You chose to steal all the nation's resources. You chose to impoverish people. You chose to destroy things that you had found, which were making money for people. You chose the path of just dividing the nation amidst your family, amongst your family. The path of, you know, of selfishness. And you're convinced that you will still be remembered in spite of that, you're convinced that there will still be some kind of legacy for you, even if you eschewed legacy in favor of greed. But I have this to tell you. This is what the scripture has to say. He will perish forever like his own refuse. Those who have seen him will say, where is he? He will fly away like a dream and not be found. In other words, today he's so powerful, giving addresses, telling people how to be locked down. The next day you look for him and he's not there. Where is he? He's not there. And then, because of what you've done, people forget you instantly because you are like a bad dream. And that's what it says here. You'll be chased away like a vision of the night. The way you wake up and you've had a terrible nightmare. And in the morning you forget it. You want to forget it. You just get about your business. And that's how it is. You wake up in the morning, you'll be chased away like a vision of the night. The eye that saw him will see him no more. And by seeing him, I don't mean that he's going to die, because everybody, except those who will be raptured, will die. But my point is, there are people who stay and they leave a footprint. And their footprint is there for everybody to see that, hey, this person did this. But then the others who die and you see them no more. That is the lot of people who choose to live selfish lives. You die and it's like you never existed. Everybody just forgets about you, like you die almost like a hen. You know, nobody's remembering what hen died on Christmas. But they died. But nobody remembers them. They died in their thousands. So when you choose to live a life that does not glorify God, or the life that is of greed and of avarice and of, you know, self-aggrandizement, you go down that path. You've chosen to leave no footprint on this world. You go down a path and nobody remembers you. The eye that saw him will see him no more, nor will his place behold him anymore. I'm going ahead. All these things I'm reading are from one chapter in the Bible. I'll tell you which chapter that is. He says, he swallows down riches. You know, galloping riches. There is gold in Busia. There is what? You swallow it up. Swallow up all the riches. Oil here. Doing what? You chase people off their land. Swallowing up riches. But then the scripture says, and he vomits them up again. God casts them out of his belly. Imagine that. You've swallowed riches. You are insatiable. You know, your voracious appetite is just getting started. You are right in there, swallowing up all the riches. But then he says, God casts them out of your belly. He just comes and hits your belly and you vomit up all the riches that you've swallowed all this time. Isn't that amazing? But then it goes on to say, because you know these people convince themselves that, I'm doing this for my children and my grandchildren. Oh ho ho, I have news for you here from the scripture. Again, his children will seek the favor of the poor and his hands will restore his wealth. He will have to give up his wealth ultimately, and his children will seek the favor of the poor. People who were made poor by the father, now the children will come and say, oh, please, you people, I need your favor. Please, I need a favor of you. This is what it says, because the riches will not be there in the posterity. They will not. I can tell you, they will not be there. So he's talking about these leaders. His children will seek the favor of the poor, and his hands will restore his wealth. Then he goes on to say, he will not see the streams, the rivers flowing with honey and cream. And now, here's the interesting thing. We are coming into a very important time for wealth in this country. Very important time, when it is just beginning to flow. It is just beginning to flow. This is the year when it is just beginning to flow. Okay? And it is going to flow and flow and flow. And it is going to be such an amazing thing. But imagine a scenario where somebody who has been waiting anxiously for the flow of this wealth and has his fingerprint in every little bit. He's here. This one he takes. He's here. This one he takes. He's there. The other one he takes. Everything he wants it for himself. But then he says he will not see the streams and the rivers flowing with honey and cream. He will not see. You might as well put oil and natural gas. He will not see the rivers flowing with oil and natural gas or with gold. And diamonds. He will not see. Then he says, he will restore that for which he labored and will not swallow it down. You fought so hard, so hard, but somehow you have to restore it to the people who rightfully own it. And eventually, people who were seated there, worshipping God, praising God, find themselves in control of all these things because somebody who was so greedy has had to restore all that he labored for. And it says, and he will not swallow it down. From the proceeds of business, whatever business is, he will get no enjoyment. Why is that? Why is it saying that about this person? Why? Why is the Bible prescribing this sort of punishment about this person? That is in the next verse. But I'll read again from the previous verse. He will restore that for which he labored and will not swallow it down. From the proceeds of business, he will get no enjoyment. Then he goes on to say in the very next verse, for he has oppressed and forsaken the poor. He has violently seized a house which he did not build. He has forsaken and oppressed the poor people and kept them in poverty deliberately. He has violently seized the lands which he did not own, farms which he did not own. He has violently seized everything. So many things that belong to other people have been, people have been chased out of their lands because he has seized them violently using the army. He has oppressed and forsaken the poor. He has violently seized the house which he did not build, or a land which he even did not buy. That's why he's going to vomit up the riches, and that's why his children will seek the favor of the poor. Okay? But he goes on to say, because he knows no quietness in his heart, he will not save anything he desires. Now, this is amazing, because you see somebody, and you know, this is the curse of the people who serve mammon. You see somebody, and somebody told me this about some old man who died, who was a very rich man, had so many land titles in this city, and so many things that he could liquidate to get cash. But now the man was sick and needed to go abroad for treatment. So he's moving, looking for money to go for treatment. They tell him, dispose of one of your land titles, liquidate it for cash and go for treatment. The man says, no, I don't want to let go of my land titles. Me, I'm not selling my land titles. And you're going to die. Are you going to go with the land? You see, that is, okay, I won't call it stupidity, but it's more than that. It is the curse of people who have chosen to serve mammon. They will serve mammon up to, until the very last breath, and the person is still fighting for the next coin. Are you going to go with it? Okay, so now, this is what it says. He knows no quietness in his heart. No quietness whatsoever in his heart. In other words, he's always reaching out for, hey, I understand now, there is oil in Kapchorwa. He goes and sends the army, sends everybody away from there. Now there is oil where? Now he goes, there is oil in northern Uganda. He goes, the next thing, people are being chased out. There is no quietness in his heart. But it says he will not save any of the things he desires. In his mind, he's going to get all these things, give them to his children. His children will be rich. They will not. His children will seek the favor of the poor. This is what the scripture says. Okay? He will not save anything he desires. He will spend all his life pursuing these things, but he will not save any of them. Then he says, nothing is left for him to eat. Therefore, his well-being will not last. Then he says, in his self-sufficiency, he will be in distress. Now, this is, and every hand of misery will come upon him. Imagine somebody saying, in his self-sufficiency, he's in distress. Now, other people are in distress because they lack. There's something they want for themselves which they don't have. So they're in distress. Maybe they don't have food, they don't have school fees, they don't have what. But now this one, he has everything he apparently needs, but he's still in distress. That is the curse of people who choose to serve mammon. In his self-sufficiency, he's in distress. Okay? Every hand of misery will come against him. Every hand of misery comes against him. While he's supposedly self-sufficient. But he's there, everything is, you know, turning upside down. Then he says, it goes on. This is all from one chapter in the Bible, by the way. I'll tell you what chapter it is. When he is about to feed his stomach, God will cast on him the fury of his wrath and will rain it on him while he is eating. So now you've gathered all these things. Now you're almost, what? Now it's time for us to, time to sit down and eat. And it's almost like that man in the parable of which Jesus gave, the rich man, who gathered a lot of things and filled up his barns and tore them down and built new ones, and then had a lot of things stored up for him. Then he said, man, what is left more on earth apart to just sit down and talk to my soul and tell it, man, you've worked hard, now it's time to sit down and make merry. Then it says, that very night the Lord said, I require a soul of you this night. Now, it's almost like this, okay? There's a reason Jesus gave that parable. When he's about to fill his stomach, God will cast on him his fury. That is God's fury. So God has been holding up a fury, holding back a fury. And this, he's eating, trying to satisfy himself. But God waits when he's about to feed his stomach. Then he unleashes 2022. He unleashes 2022. And will rain it on him while he is still eating. Okay? Rain it on him while he is still eating. Now, this is interesting. Now, I'm going ahead still on the same chapter. He will flee from the iron weapon. A bronze bow will pierce him through. I don't know what this means. It is drawn and comes out of the body. Yes, the glittering point out of his goal. Terrors come upon him. I'll read that again. He will flee from the iron weapon. A bronze bow will pierce him through. It is drawn and comes out of his body. I don't know what a bronze bow is in this case. Huh? Bronze is like iron or like copper, isn't it? So something copper will come out of his body. I don't know. I don't know what the Bible... I really don't know. So please, I'm just reading the word of God. Do not impute anything on me that I have not said. But it is drawn, a bronze bow. He will flee from an iron weapon. Iron, bronze, copper. A bow will pierce him through. It is drawn and comes out of the body. Yes, the glittering point comes out of his goal. Terrors come upon him. Total darkness is reserved for his treasures, for which he has fought all along. He has fought, but it says here total darkness is reserved for his treasures. An unfanned fire will consume him. It shall go ill with him who is left in his tent. The heavens will reveal his iniquity. And the earth will rise up against him. Imagine a scenario where the heavens are against you. God has unleashed his wrath, as it says. Okay, while you're still eating, when you're about to feed your stomach, God unleashes his wrath. So the heavens are against you. But then it says, even the earth rises up against you. Even the people who are once with you rise up against you. Now heaven is against you, apparently. And then even the earth, the people on earth whom you manipulated and to get yourself in a position, all of them also turn against you. So basically, you have no place to run. Then it goes on to say, now this is the last two verses, the increase of his house will depart, and his goods will flow away in the day of God's wrath. Oh man, this sounds so good. This sounds really good. I mean, how can you not be excited about this year, considering the wonderful thing that God is planning for us this year? Wonderful, wonderful things. The people who have oppressed us are going to flee. They are going to be in flight. They came against us in one way. They are going to flee seven ways. You wait when they start contradicting themselves. You know, like the blessings in Deuteronomy 28, which God promised the children of Israel. Your enemies come before you in one way. They come, all of you, locked down. What? You can't move. You can't what? You can't breathe. You can't. But they are fleeing seven ways. One person says this, another one says the other says this, everybody is fleeing, and it is happening right now. I'm seeing it, world leaders speaking. Now we can't no longer go on with this thing. We have to start treating this as rules. You've impoverished people for a whole 2 years. 2 years of making people suffer. And now you're telling us that just forget about it, let's move on. No, it's not going to be like that. There is going to be a day of reckoning. It is coming. A day of reckoning is coming. It is coming. I'm telling you this, it is coming. And even all the people who have been complicit in all this thing will run for their lives. I can tell you this. It says here, the final thing, the increase of his house will depart and his goods will flow away in the day of God's wrath. This is the portion from God for a wicked man, the heritage appointed to him by God. And I told you what makes him wicked. Why does the Bible call him wicked? Because he has oppressed and forsaken the poor. And he has violently seized a house which he did not build. In other words, he has violently taken things which were not his because of his power. Because he could do it, he did it. So, and he oppressed the poor and he forsook them. So now, oppressing means that you actually go and add on to their misery. Now, forsaking means you are expected to do something to help the poor, but you do not. Now, forsaking is bad enough if you just let them to their poverty and you move on. But no, he goes ahead of that. He oppressed them. He even went for the little they had and stripped them completely. And he violently took the things which they had, which were legitimately theirs. He took them away. That's why the Bible calls him a wicked man and has prescribed for him this punishment. All that is in Job chapter 20. You go and read it. Interesting, Job chapter 20. So, How can you not be excited? I am excited about 2022. Great things are happening. Great things are happening. And now the scripture says, I saw the Ancient of Days, Daniel chapter 8. He came, he sat, and the kingdom was given to the people of God, of the Most High. And dominion was given to them. Dominion was given to them. So we have to prepare ourselves for a time of dominion. Now, a lot of the people in the church have not really aligned themselves to this idea of dominion. What does dominion mean? Now, it is a real problem when we get into a place and decisions are being made and there is no input from the children of God, where we are not influencing policy. Dominion is about influencing policy. So there are people who will influence policy to point in a certain direction because they are favoring that direction because that's what they want to do. But somehow on that table, until now, there were no Christians. And even when they were there, professing Christians, they kind of were lukewarm. They could not stand and put their foot down and say, you are not going to pass this, or you are going to pass this. And they could not stamp their feet there because they were not taught that it is dominion. When you enter a place, as the scripture says, every place you set your foot in, I have given it to you. So that is not just about lands and places like that. It is even about companies. When you enter it, you take dominion over it. I know just a few believers, by the way, who know how to do these things, where they enter a place within a short time, they have influenced everything around. And they don't even have to be at a very high office. They can influence it from a low office, but somehow, even the ED or the manager somehow has to consult them quietly. What do you think about this? Now, that is dominion, where you are at the point where you influence policy. Now, of course, I can talk about dominion, and probably I will at some later stage, but the whole idea of this, the point in all of this, is that we have to be at a place where we are influencing policy to make sure that there is never going to be a time again, as long as the church is still on this world and we have not been raptured, there is not going to be a time again when any leader can stand up and say people should not congregate, people should not go to church. That is not going to happen again. Now, we have to stand up and take places where everything influences policy. And that comes through a number of ways, which perhaps I'll talk about in a different time. So, prepare to be the people of the kingdom, ruling on this world. The point is, Jesus is coming back for a victorious church. And we are that church. Some of you might not feel like it right now, but we are that church. God in heaven does not have any other constituency on earth apart from his church. We are his constituency. And if anything is going to be done, it is going to be done through us. We are his people. We are his constituency. He doesn't have some special people, some aliens whom he's going to come and bring to change. No, it is us. Okay? It is us. So just prepare to be the glorious end time church that God has prepared for us to be. Just prepare to be that. Just have it in your mind. Have it that now our enemies are scattering. You know, let God arise and may his enemies be scattered. I am seeing them scattering. I am seeing them scattering all over the place. I can tell you, I am seeing them scattering. I read the news and I'm following the news. I am seeing people backtracking. People who came up and swore, we are not going to do this. They are backtracking. Okay? Now, as we speak, there was this Australian Open tennis tournament where one player was chased away. The world number one tennis player and the defending champion of the tournament was chased away and could not defend his title because he refused to vaccinate. And they say, laws are laws. Now you wait and see how they will be shamed as a result of that. They are going to be shamed. They are going to be absolutely shamed. And even the ratings of their tournament have gone down. They are going to make very little money. Like now, God arise and may his enemies be scattered. And they are being scattered. And we are going to watch it. And we just have to be ready to take over the reins when the enemies of the Lord are scattered. So remember, the enemy has given his try in as far as changing the times and seasons are concerned. He wanted to prolong, make this longer and longer and longer. And when you see them admitting that, you know, now COVID is disappearing, that was not the plan. The plan was to continue. I saw the whole script of the plan. By the way, it was written down somewhere in Rockefeller Foundation. although they pulled it out when people discovered it, how they were going to do this, then we do this, then people revolt, then we do this. They had a plan that went all the way up to 2024, then 2025 we introduce this, up 2026 we introduce this. They had a whole plan of how by 2025 everybody is stripped of their way of income. Now governments are giving people subsidiaries, what they call survival, you know, salary, which some people who don't want to work would be comfortable with. But all your businesses and everything have been taken up. And then by 2030, they were saying they want everybody to own nothing but still be happy. In terms of communication, you know, they wanted this whole metaverse of Facebook saying that they want to start, giving people some kind of virtual world, where people can go and put on glasses and suddenly in that virtual world, they own buildings, they own fancy cars, they own what. But as soon as they take off the glasses, they are broke, they are poor, they are hungry, and they own nothing. But they just go back. So if life in reality is too miserable, they give you an opportunity to run away and go into a virtual world. Now that's what they are calling metaverse. So we are meeting people in the metaverse and so on. It is not going to happen, not now, not when we are here. It isn't. I tell you, it is crumbling. I can tell you this, even Facebook itself, I can tell you this, it is not going to happen when we are here, because it is all part of that plan of where by 2030, only a few people own everything in the world, and everybody else owns nothing. But they have some virtual world. As long as you can buy those, you know, virtual glasses and put them on yourself, inside those glasses, you are a rich man, you're very wealthy, you can do anything you want, you can date any girl you want, you can do what. But when you come out of them, no girl wants to look at you, you are broke, you're busted. That's their vision of the world, but it is not going to happen, thankfully. And now the crumbling is beginning this year. How can you not be excited? Anyhow, thank you so much for listening to us here on Watchman. Please remember, any message you want, www.ugwatchman.com. Just go there, all the messages are there. They're even numbered, you can listen to so many of them. ugwatchman.com, www.ugwatchman.com. Or if you want, and I really encourage you to sow a seed towards this, because we really are sending these messages across the country. We want people to know that there is a voice apart from the one of the devil. There is a voice, and we are that voice. And if you want to be a part of that voice, of course, through your finances, I tell you the number that you can send to your mobile money. If you in Uganda, is 0780-292-555, 0780-292-555. Or if you prefer Airtel, it's 0755-292-555. You can use those numbers, send us a seed. We shall use it for the purpose of spreading this word. But also, if you are abroad and you listen to this message and you want to contribute towards this, you can go to the website. There are ways there that show you how you can sow a seed. I don't want to use the word contribute. Sow a seed towards this, because you're not contributing. Contributing is what you do at a wedding when you don't expect anything in return. We are doing the work of God. Anybody who sows here actually gets a return from the Lord. Okay, so they get a return from the Lord. So expecting to get a return from the Lord. Thank you so much for listening to us. God bless you all. Have yourselves a wonderful evening.
That was The Watchman. Tune in next week. Join us at our Friday fellowship, 5:30 p.m. at Plot 9 Kulubia Road, Bugolobi. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555. Or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman. On Twitter, @UGWatchman. Instagram, @the_UGWatchman. And on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email to info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, resources and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King, is coming.